Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.
Today, we continue our discussion on crucial facts about chronic wasting disease in deer. Hello, I'm Amy Myers, and welcome to Farm and Family. Today, we're speaking with Dr. Bronson Strickland, Mississippi State University Extension Wildlife Specialist. So, Bronson, as we all know, chronic wasting disease is always fatal, basically because it turns the brain into Swiss cheese. So today we're discussing why feeding deer in certain areas is banned right now.
Transmission can be both direct and indirect. So concentrating deer and elk in captivity or by artificially feeding is probably going to increase the likelihood of both direct and indirect transmission. The movement of live animals is one of the greatest risk factors in spreading the disease to a new area.
So it's important not to feed deer right now.
That's exactly right. And we try to explain to people, feeding doesn't cause the disease, but it concentrates animals and will facilitate the spread. So if animals have the disease, you're increasing the odds of transmission by concentrating them. The hot zone where it was located right now, all the feeding is banned. And so that's one of the best things you can do for your deer herd is not to concentrate them.
Which six Mississippi counties is it banned?
Currently, Amy, the zone is Claiborne County, Hinds, Issaquena, Sharkey, Warren, and Yazoo counties.
And what are the symptoms of CWD?
The most consistent and obvious sign is weight loss over time. Hence, that's where we get the chronic wasting disease. It just looks like the deer is wasting away. CWD-affected animals continue to eat, but the amounts of feed consumed are going to be reduced, leading to gradual weight loss. Another characteristic is excessive drinking and urination are really common when we get into the late stages. Behavioral changes also occur in a majority of the cases, and that's going to include decreased interactions with other animals. They're going to lower their head, a blank facial expression, repetitive walking around in patterns. When you see the salivation, the drooling, and even sometimes grinding of teeth, those are surefire signs.
And how exactly is CWD detected?
All those symptoms we just talked about behaviorally are a good indication, but really we need a sample. You need a biological sample. And this really stinks, Amy. There's no reliable live animal test now. So biologists have to take the carcass and have to take a tissue sample and take it to the lab for analysis.
After death.
After death.
Why are we concerned about CWD?
Well, the implications for free-ranging deer are significant. Ongoing surveillance programs are going to be really expensive. They're going to draw resources from our other wildlife management needs. Impacts of CWD on population dynamics of deer and elk are presently unknown. And what us nerdy biologists do, you know, when we do computer modeling, it suggests that over time you can reduce a deer herd because the survival rate is going to be lowered, and so the herds can actually decrease. Where it occurs, CWD may alter the management of wild deer and elk populations, and in some places that's already begun. And ultimately, public and agency concerns and perceptions about human health risk associated with these diseases may erode hunters' confidence and their willingness to hunt in these CWD areas.
Let's just say I harvested a deer that I've shot during hunting season, and it's in the freezer. Can I eat it, or does it depend on whether or not the deer came from one of those six counties?
Right now, that makes all the difference in the world. So if you're outside of that zone, even though I'm not authorized to tell you that it's 100% safe, more than likely it is. I personally would not have a problem consuming the meat in a manner that we talked about earlier. Now, if the deer were harvested within the zone, well, hopefully by now, Amy, your deer's in the freezer. Hopefully you're not aging it or something. Oh, yes, in the freezer. So my recommendation would be just wait right now. Let's let MDWFMP continue their sampling where we're going to get a better idea of the prevalence of the disease and where it's at exactly, and then we can make a decision on down the road.
Okay, so if you do have a carcass that has tested positive, we will be covering this later to let you know how you should dispose of it.
That's exactly right.
And for more information, we can go to mdwfp.com. Today we're speaking with Bronson Strickland, Wildlife Specialist. I'm Amy Myers, and this has been Farm and Family. Have a great day.
Farm and Family is a production of the Mississippi State University Extension Service.